This is Digital Story Podcast number 1010, July 29th, 2025. Today's theme is, Still Think Lightroom is a Lightweight Compared to Classic? I'm Derek Story. When Lightroom CC Creative Cloud debuted, it did feel more like a toy than serious software that could challenge its elder classic sibling. But things have changed over the years, and the cloud version, now just called Lightroom, has some serious chops. So much so that it's now a legitimate rival to its elder. I'll explain why on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. I started thinking about this topic when I was reading an article on Amateur Photographer titled Lightroom Classic versus Lightroom CC, Which is Best? By James Patterson. And quite honestly, a lot of things are outdated in that article, even though it was just published on July 21st, 2025. Those who read this article and don't check things out for themselves could get a false impression about the current version of Lightroom. And that got me thinking, I wonder how many classic users have revisited Lightroom in recent history. Because if they haven't, I think there's some surprises there, and they're pretty much pleasant surprises. What happened in this article, a few things I want to point out, and I don't want to diss this article completely because a lot of things are right in it, but the things that are wrong tend to be key points. And one of them is that first of all, he calls Lightroom CC versus Lightroom Classic, even though he does point out that it's Lightroom, but then he keeps calling it CC. When we get to the naming of this, Lightroom is the newer version, and Lightroom Classic is the venerable version. So Lightroom is what we call the version that is on iOS, is on Android, and is on your desktop. And then Classic is a desktop application only for both Windows and Mac. Now, the big distinction was back in the old days, and this is kind of what he points to in this article, is cloud versus local storage. Lightroom has always been focused on the cloud. In the beginning, that was your only option, whereas Lightroom Classic has been focused on local storage, you know, on the hard drive on your computer, or you're plugging in external drives and you're storing your masters and the XML data that goes with them there. Okay, so that's the basic distinction back in the day. But today, Lightroom has been updated in many, many ways. I'm going to cover some of those updates today on this podcast. But one of them is that you also have access to local storage. And in fact, you can use Lightroom locally only. You can point it to a hard drive. You can point it to an SSD. You can point it to a directory of photos that's on your computer and work away and be just fine. Now, you can send those images or select a number of images and send them up to your cloud account if you want, but you don't have to. You can do everything locally. You can work with Lightroom, modern day Lightroom, all you want and never even touch the cloud. So I think that is a big distinction that a lot of people don't realize have changed in recent history. I have a link to the article if you want to take a look at it, because there are some other things in there that are interesting and pretty good. But the one distinction that I really want to make is that Lightroom has evolved away from many of the things that classic users did not like about it in the early days. All right, let's take a look at what some of those things are here. I think what I'll do is, you know, the latest version of Lightroom, the June 2025 release, they added some new tools to really an already pretty nice feature set. I'm going to start with the new tools because they are kind of exciting and people who are up to speed with Lightroom may not know about these yet. And then I'll get into my workflow that I'm using for Lightroom and how that is fairly robust, I have to say. I mean, so much so that I don't even have Classic loaded on my laptop. I don't need it. Lightroom's doing fine. But let's talk about the latest enhancements. The headline new feature in the June 2025 release is called Distraction Removal. I love this. And this really solves a problem for many of us who like travel photography or who are out and about with our cameras. This tool helps you detect and remove distractions from photos, such as window and glass reflections and extra people in the background. It provides just the right amount of control and it works very well. Now, there are two flavors. The remove reflections fixes reflections in photos taken through windows or glass doors. Very handy for street photographers because, you know, we run into this all the time. There's something behind glass that we want to photograph. We don't always have all the time in the world to get out the polarizer, get the angle just right. Sometimes we just have to take the shot. And then we have to deal with those reflections, which are very difficult to get rid of manually. But with this new feature, Lightroom will do it for you. It's really quite nice. The second, remove extra people, is even better. It automatically identifies and removes distracting or extra people from your photos. In a few simple steps, the people removal feature detects people in the background and removes them from your photo, helping your subject stand out and keep the focus where it belongs. By the way, remove people is also part of Lightroom iOS and Lightroom Android, so you can get it on your mobile apps as well. Played around with the people removal tool, and I have to tell you, I absolutely loved it. What it does is it analyzes the photo, and I had a shot where I had a group of young ladies in the foreground, and they were there to be photographed by someone else, and then it was in a public location, so there are a bunch of people milling around in the background. What Lightroom did was it identified all the people in the shot, and it put the little pin on them, a little blue dot, and then you decide what people you want to stay and what people you want to go. For the people that you want to stay, you click on the blue dot and hit the delete key. That basically deselects them. For the people that you want to go, you leave them selected. You don't touch their blue dots. And when you do that, then you just click the remove people button and the application removes them and then does, you know, the generative fill on the background that looks very good, very seamless, and they're gone. Poof, they're gone, just like that. Oh my gosh. I mean, this version of Lightroom is worth playing with just to have that feature. I absolutely love it, but there's more. There's more in this latest June 2025 feature other than remove extra people and remove reflections. Another improvement is view and update AI edits. What they say about this is easily view and update edits made using AI powered tools like denoise, remove, lens blur, and more. The AI status icon automatically highlights when you apply an AI edit to a photo. If subsequent changes invalidate any AI edits, the icon turns yellow, indicating that some edits need to be reviewed or refreshed. This allows you to conveniently manage and update all AI edits from a single location. And it's right there on the right-hand side, this little icon. And it works really well. And what I like about it also, you can just click on it and you get the history of your AI edits. So you can see all the AI edits that you've made to that photo as well. So it's just helps you keep track, you know, when you're doing this stuff. You know, oh, now I'm going to do this, now I'm going to do this. Helps you keep track of that. It's like a history panel for AI, but it warns you if something, you know, gets overruled by another change that you made. Another very nice little addition to this latest version of Lightroom. These things are pretty nice, but I think the reason why a lot of classic users haven't looked at Lightroom in recent history is because of the basic file management approach originally in Lightroom, which was very cloud-oriented, as I mentioned earlier, which is great if you got a ton of cloud storage, but most of us don't. I mean, I'm still on the basic photography plan, so I have, 20 gigabytes, which isn't a whole lot, especially when you start talking raw files and things like that. In the early days of Lightroom, I was just trying to manage, you know, what I worked on in Lightroom and what I didn't because of this cap I had, this 20 gigabyte cap. Not a problem anymore. Now, the cap is still there, but it's so much easier to stay within it because you have local access to your photos. Things really began to improve for me when Adobe introduced the local tab to augment the cloud tab on the left side of the column. My previous complaint had been that I didn't want to store all my Lightroom work in the fee-based Creative Cloud, and with the local tab, I don't have to do that. And even better, I don't have to import the images on my drive to the application. There's no database entry that has to happen. I can point Lightroom to a directory of pictures and just start working. If I add metadata or image adjustments, Lightroom creates an XML file and places it in the same directory as the picture. It honestly couldn't be more flexible. I just want to clarify what I'm saying here is that I don't have to import pictures into Lightroom in order to use all these tools that Lightroom has to offer. And here's the way I've been working this. I have a directory of photos that goes back years. I mean, some of the images in this directory were originally edited in Aperture. We're going that far back. And in this directory, you know, I organize things by folder. And the folder has a date, it has a month and a year on it, and then it has some kind of descriptive label. So I know what it is. And they all go in one big folder, right? So if I point Lightroom to that folder, then I say, okay, I want to look inside this folder. And what I've done, I just add it as a favorite in Lightroom. So now it just shows up in my favorites tab. All the subfolders show beneath it. So everything that I have in that directory is available. I can open a subfolder. I can hit G mode, right? Grid mode, and just, you know, browse whatever I want. If I want to work on something where it's a RAW file or a JPEG, I can work on it just like you normally would in either Lightroom Classic or Lightroom. I can apply all the tools. Once I start editing, then Lightroom creates that XML file I talked about earlier, and it just adds it to the directory where the master photo is. Again, no importing, no fooling around with anything. You just point it to the pictures you want to work on, and you start working on them. If I do want to send something up to my Creative Cloud account, I can. There's a big button at the top of the interface that says send photo to cloud. Or if you have 5 photos selected, it says send 5 photos to cloud. If I do that, then those images with all the edits that I've done go into my Creative Cloud account, and then they instantly show up on my iPad. Where I'm running Lightroom Mobile there. I can keep working on them or share them with other people. It's in the cloud and is backed up via the cloud. So if I have a folder of 500 pictures in it, I don't have to put all 500 pictures in the cloud anymore to work with them in Lightroom. I can work on the pictures that I want right there in the directory, on a plug-in hard drive, whatever I want. And then if I want to take 10 of those shots and put them in the cloud so that, you know, I can share them or view them there, or keep working on them, I can do that. Or I can just leave them all where they are. This is a huge change for Lightroom compared to its very early days. And I think some folks don't realize how robust it is working with local drives now, especially compared to what it used to be. What is in Lightroom aside from this being able to work, you know, with local drives? Well, there's a wealth of presets, including adaptive versions. And the presets have always been good in Lightroom. They're good in Classic. They're good in this version of Lightroom. And the adaptive versions are a lot of fun. And they're just really a great way to look at your photos in different ways and figure out what direction you want to take it. There's a ton of them in this version of Lightroom. You have your high-end editing tools in addition to the regular tools that you expect to be there. They're there. Highlights are there. Shadows are there. All that kind of stuff is there. But in addition to that, you have some sophisticated ones. You have point color, which is a fantastic tool. You have color grading. You have denoise. You have super resolution. You have lens blur. The lens blur is one of my favorites because it just works so well and it helps me control the background beyond what I was able to do in camera. And especially when you shoot with smaller sensor cameras, in my case, the OM3, sometimes that background has a bit more detail than I want, and lens blur helps me, you know, just tweak that to the point where I think that's what I want. That's what looks good. There's generative AI remove in there. The sophisticated tools are there for you to play with. Plus you have linear and radial gradients. You have brushing tools so you can do localized edits. You have AI generated masks for subjects, skies, and backgrounds. So you can just say, all right, Lightroom, choose the sky for me. You know, click and it'll do it for you. You don't have to brush it. You don't have to do any of that kind of stuff. It identifies the sky and then it'll select it for you so you can make that adjustment, or you can say, you know, choose the background for me and it'll do that. And of course, you can always fine tune with a brush if you want to make some additions to what it picked out for you. It still has HDR merge and panorama merge in there, which was, you know, a very happy day for me when Lightroom brought those two tools in from Classic, because those are two tools that I've always liked in Lightroom, and I was really happy to see them show up. You have easy round tripping to Photoshop, and you have sophisticated round tripping, so you can even work in layers and so forth in round trip to Photoshop, So that kind of stuff is in this newer version of Lightroom right now, in addition to being able to manage your images, star ratings, flags, all that kind of stuff. Okay. There's still a few things missing compared to Classic in this newer version. Some people will find these deal breakers. Others, like me, don't care as much. But they're still not the same app. I don't think Lightroom handles plugins or round tripping very well. They have an edit width function. For the life of me, I can't get it to work properly. So if you're round tripping to Photoshop, it's fine. It's great. It works beautifully. But if you try to round trip to on-one effects or something like that, I've had real difficulty with that. There's still some missing adjustment tools that are in Classic that aren't in Lightroom. So you don't have everything that's in Classic in Lightroom. The export dialog boxes are not as good. So, you know, that's a missing element. You don't have a print module in Lightroom, which, you know, at this point now, that sort of surprises me, right? I thought by now we would have a print module there. So if you're a printer, I think the thing to do, you know, the workflow would be send your image to Photoshop, right? Because that part from Lightroom to Photoshop works really well, and then print from Photoshop. But the print module is not in Lightroom. And there are some other things too that you're not going to find in Lightroom that are in Lightroom Classic. But overall, I have to say, and especially if you want to play with the latest technologies that Adobe is offering there in Lightroom, if you want to manage your photos either in the cloud or locally, you can do that with Lightroom. And it's just a really nice interface that still allows you to do star ratings and flagging and copy your edit settings and paste them to another picture and all that good stuff. You can filter your images. You can find things pretty easily. It does have keywording, has info so you can look at the XF data. It's a nice app, and if you haven't looked at it for a while, if you're a Classic user, you haven't looked at it for a while, It's worth knowing what's there because you have it as part of your plan, so you might as well take a peek at it and see what's going on. And then for some of us who, I mean, I never was a heavy Lightroom user, Lightroom Classic user. For some of us, it's just a better fit than Lightroom Classic. Take a peek at it and see what you think. All right, let's look at a little camera industry news. I have two things I want to talk about. This one's on Petapixel. You must now be 18 years old to create a new Flickr account. Let me read you what they say on Petapixel. I have a link in the show notes. Flickr has made some rather dramatic changes to the photo sharing site in response to new safety standards put in place by the United Kingdom. While some of the new rules only affect citizens in the UK, the website is now acting like an adult website in the sense in order to create an account, new users must be 18 years of age or older. The updates to Flickr's terms of service were made on July 24th in anticipation of updated UK regulations, but the Smug Mug owned photo sharing site made global changes in addition to the ones affecting specifically the UK. Quote, the primary update is that Flickr will now require all new users to be 18 years of age or older to create an account. This change helps us align with evolving global online safety standards and ensures a consistent and safe environment for our entire community, end quote, Flickr writes in an email to users. That is a major change and it affects everyone. However, thanks to the passage of the Online Safety Act, Flickr is instituting new rules for content access for those attempting to access the site from the UK. Firstly, access to content with Safe Search turned off will be disabled for all except those with Flickr Pro subscription. Flickr says that it went with this approach because a Pro subscription requires credit card verification, which it is using to serve as age assurance under UK law. Quote, while you are in the UK, Safe Search may be automatically enabled on your account. Your full account access and settings will be restored automatically once you leave the UK, Flickr explains. We appreciate your understanding as we navigate these new requirements to keep our global community safe. If you're a young photographer and you want access to that Flickr community, that big Flickr community, you have to be 18 in order to set up a new account. That's quite a change for this venerable photo sharing platform. Godox's latest flash units are adorable and affordable. And this is an article that is on DP Review. Have a link in the show notes, and they are right. These are adorable. If you've ever found yourself checking out Godox's small, cheap flashes, but aren't interested in something that you have to manually control, you're in luck. Godox has announced two TTL flash units that are just $50. The Godox IT20 and IT22 are tiny TTL flashes for Sony, Nikon, Canon, Fujifilm, Olympus, and Panasonic cameras. They promise long battery life, auto controls, and more. The IT20 and IT22 are identical in every way except size. Both are highly compact, but the IT22 is somewhat taller, allowing it to work better with large lenses or big lens hoods. The IT20 weighs slightly less than 45 grams, 1.6 ounces, while the IT22 comes in at 52 grams, 1.8 ounces. Both models enable auto TTL metering with compatible cameras or full manual controls with one-touch mode switch. They offer six output levels from 1/32nd to 1:1 in third-stop increments for greater control. The new Godox flash units feature a built-in lithium battery that charges via USB-C. Godox promises 700 flashes per charge with a 1.5 second recycle time. They also make it easy to modify your light as they are compatible with magnetic snap-on diffusers, color filters, creative gels, and honeycomb grids. Each flash comes with two color filters and a diffuser, and additional modifiers are available to purchase separately. Neither the iT20 nor the T22 features a hinge, so you can't bounce the light with them. However, Godox has also a small accessory, the TRTTL hot shoe riser, that lifts the flash by 30 millimeters, 1.2 inches, and adds 90 degrees of tilt so that you can use it for bounce flash. It retains TTL support as well, so you can use it with auto flash functions. The flashes are available for pre-order for $50. And they look really good on these cameras. They're really cute little flashes. I like the LCD screen on the back for the controls. Minimal buttons, you know, just what you need. They look great. And if the specs are correct on this, you get a lot of flashes per charge. And of course, they serve practically every camera company, that especially the ones that we use here in this audience. Now, there's another reason why I'm bringing that up. And that is because I think I talked about this on the podcast, maybe not. But the latest OM5 Mark II from OM System isn't compatible with the cute little clip-on flash that many of us use with our Olympus and OM System cameras. That little clip-on is the FL-LM3 flash. Talk about adorable flashes. This is like, honey, I shrank my flash kind of flash. And it also bounces and swivels. So I use it on my OM3 and I use it on my OM1, and it works great with both of those. I just tested it with the OM3 again today just to make sure I knew what I was talking about. And this little clip-on flash that many of us have from earlier Olympus cameras work all the way up to the OM3. However, the latest offering from OM System, it does not work with the OM5 Mark II, and that's where maybe just bought that camera. It'll be shipping soon. Since it doesn't come with a flash, maybe these two little flashes from Godox will solve your problem, although you will have to check on the Godox site to make sure that these flashes are compatible with the new OM5 Mark II. At any rate, it's good to have a little flash with you. They're great for field photography. I use them a lot with people pictures outdoors just to give a little splash of light, just put a little sparkle in the eyes. They're fantastic. These little guys are cute. I might get a little one for my Nikon ZF, one of these little Godoxes. I have a nice big flash that I use for, you know, my big assignments, weddings and things like that. But it'd be fun to have a little baby Godox that's TTL that go with my Nikon ZF as well. Anyway, go to the article on DP Review, take a look at the pictures and see what you think. Okay, let's take care of a little virtual camera club business. I want to give a shout out to our Inner Circle members, both Inner Circle and Inner Circle Bold. We are finishing up this week our Photos Masterclass, which was the perk for people who signed up for an annual membership to Inner Circle Bold. Those people will also receive a free online workshop next year in the 2026 season when I do the workshops for next year, which, you know, we're not that far away from that announcement. I'm working on them now. But when we announce the workshop schedule for next year, there will be some online workshops that are available at no extra charge for Inner Circle Bold members. And it's just my way of encouraging community. We have all sorts of new folks in this current Photos Masterclass because of the Inner Circle Bold promotion. And that's exactly what I want. I'm after participation. I'm after getting people to interact with other photographers in our community, to learn some new things, and to just enjoy their photography in a new way. And a lot of times, sharing that experience with other people who are as passionate about photography as you are is one of the greatest feelings that we can have as artists. So at any rate, that is the goal of the Inner Circle and Inner Circle Bold. You know, we have the online space on Derek's Story Online, That's another way that we get to interact with each other and share pictures. The online courses are something that I'm emphasizing more now and moving forward because they're just so wonderfully interactive and personal. And who knows what I'll come up with also in 2026. But the things I come up with, Inner Circle members will be the first to find out about them and to have a chance to participate. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the digital story, nose around a bit, sign up, and soon you'll be hearing from me via email with some of your benefits and access to our space on Derek's Story online. And like I said, let's get involved because it is so much more fun when we're working with each other on this craft that we love so much. And finally, I'd like to give a shout out to our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the digital story. They are the ones that put the knowledge that add that little extra motivation. If you go to their site and you start looking at how an image can look one way on high gloss and then look so different on a matte surface, it's really impressive. We're used to looking at our photos on a screen most of the time, and that screen has a look, right? But you start putting that same image that you've been looking at on a screen on different kinds of photo paper, you will find new facets to that image that you didn't even realize was there. And that's what printing can do. It can help you see your pictures in a new light. And sometimes that new light is very appealing. And you go, man, I liked that shot before, but now I love it. This is what Red River Paper can do. Click on their tile that's on all the pages of the digital story. You know, make sure that you get our coupon code for free shipping and then start nosing around, start learning about how you can transform your images into works of art. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show, working on more stuff for next week. Until then, get out there, take some pictures, stay safe. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.